This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870, and we are talking about local issues in the real estate market. We also throw in a couple national ideas for a little bit of spice and fun here and there. One thing that we like to do is thank the station and everybody here for working to make this happen. That is Mr. John McKay over there. John, how you been doing?
Keeping good, praying for snow. I know that. That doesn't make you excited, but...
Come on. This is the real estate show. Are you trying to shut my business down for a couple days or
no,
what?
No, but you've got dog sleds and snowmobiles.
Dog sleds.
Right. Absolutely.
You guys could sell houses right now in Buffalo.
We could. We can still sell some houses with some snow, so I'm not too concerned. And it might give me an afternoon of getting the sled out. I can tell you that I'm still okay with a good old-fashioned sled behind the four-wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
I might throw a helmet on in today's modern environment. You know, we didn't do that back in my day, and that's probably what happened to the left side of my head. But I probably would in today's environment just in case. And that, folks, over there reminiscing also is Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
You know, I'm thinking about some snow and hooky bobbins.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a good time.
It really is a good time for sure. So it could happen. I tell you what, it got really, really cold last week, although all of our proud to report, our listings, our sellers, very proactive with their sprinkler blowouts, heat settings and stuff. And so we've had a real good dealing with that cold weather. So glad to have gotten through that. There are still a lot of homes going pending, a lot of showings happening out there, and a lot of activity. We're still being pushed, a lot of people thinking about moving by the first of the year, and that's what we get this time of year.
You know, Lance, my assistant told me yesterday that we have taken 51 loan applications since the start of the month.
That is incredible.
And
wow.
These are new people that are coming and applying and ready to go look and buy a new home. So it just tells you there's a lot of people still wanting to buy before the year's over.
You know, there really is. I think we had a transferee from Portland this month, you know, managing a couple new stores to this area. We had a couple transferees from the East Coast. So, and that's what we see happen and drive the market a lot this time of year. And so we're going to talk a little bit about buyers and looking into that rent versus buy and some of the reasons why they're buying. We focused on sellers a lot the last couple of weeks, so we wanted to kind of hit those buyers up a little bit. Before we get into that, though, we always like to go with our crazy national real estate story. A lot of these come out of New York because that market is so insane. And this is absolutely one of those stories, but I love this story. This is fantastic. Now, this is actress Lauren Bacall, who passed away last year at 89. She is selling her nine-room spread that overlooks Central Park. Okay,
ooh.
And she was famous, married to Humphrey Bogart. From Casablanca. She was in a movie called How to Marry a Millionaire. So kind of one of those famous, iconic Hollywood actresses had moved back to New York, purchased this property. So what she did is after the death of her first husband, who was Humphrey Bogart, she was done with Hollywood, moved back to New York. Okay, she called her business manager. She said, cash in all my stock. And then she used that money to buy this apartment that overlooks Central Park. I mean, it is right on the park. She bought that for $48,000 back in the 1961. Original owner since then. Guess what that just listed for?
Well, I could see through the paper. So you
oh, man. All right. Okay.
I can't.
What?
My game.
$6 million.
Wow.
She heralded it as one of her best business decisions that she ever made. Huh. And so the pictures are pretty incredible.
Yeah,
kind of that classic old wood look, tons of hand-carved wood, and then almost rumored to be almost 4,000 square feet with those views over Central Park. Absolutely amazing. And you just don't find a lot of those original owners anymore. Even we've done a couple this year. We had a couple of the older Richland homes, you know, the 1948, you know, put in when they were building Richland. And I always... those are always just a blast. Like, I love that somebody, you know, had those houses for, you know, 65 years, and I'm the next person to sell that house from the original owner. So, yeah, I love seeing listings like those. Like in today's environment where people move on average every 6 to 7 years, we don't see that as often anymore. So I always really get a kick out of that and love doing those. So there is an original, and talk about a real estate investment into $48,000 into a list price of $26 million. So incredible, incredible national real estate story there. So one of the things we wanted to talk about today, Tom and I are like, okay, what should we do with the show today? I watched a couple great videos this week that talked about why people are buying, why someone would consider buying versus renting. And so I really said, well, let's get into some of those questions, because a lot of people ask us, they're like, where are all these buyers coming from? Why are they coming to the Tri-Cities? Why are you guys going to hit 200 sales this year? You know, and the growth is just incredible. And so people ask that question. And then we get a lot of first-time buyers who are trying to make that decision. So one of the things I first wanted to go over is the rent. So you look at what a comparable house would rent for. And now that's the easy part, because it's pretty easy to know what that number is. And once you have that number, there's not a lot of a distance to that other than, say, maybe a security deposit or your utilities. But that number is the number. Usually any maintenance on the home, anything that breaks, a lot of times that will fall to the landlord. So when you have your rental number, it's pretty much a fixed cost other than built-in increases for inflation or depending upon your lease. But generally, for the next year to 18 months, you know exactly what that number is going to be like. So step one in that situation is deciding how big of a property you want, getting into Craigslist, getting with a property manager, and getting some numbers for how much that's going to cost you. Now, in years past, we've had a really tight, tight rental market here. I mean, there were times when we were actually at 99% occupancy. That has loosened up a little bit to where you can find a rental now. When you look and get with property managers and jump on Craigslist, it's not like there's a ton of vacancies around, but we're not at 99% occupancy like we were. So there are rental numbers that you can compare to. So the first thing that we like to do is kind of step in and said, what can we do and how much is it going to cost us for that house? Now, we're going to talk to Tom a little bit later in the show about exactly how much that money will cost us on the lending side. But the first step to look at is when you're looking at that rent versus buy decision, and we go over this with people all the time, and that is the time period. The time period is super, super important. I'm counseling people all the time that come into town, and they'll be like, hey, we're going to be in the Tri-Cities for 3 years. So we're looking at purchasing a house, and then our contract's over, and all of our family is back east, and we're moving back east. I can tell you that probably 8 out of 10 times in that scenario, I'm telling those folks to rent. If you're looking at a 3-year time period like that, you are right on the verge of what we'll go through the analysis, call our break-even point, to where that might not be a great decision for you. And so one of the things we hate to do is, you know, talk to people that have only been in the house 3 to 4 years. Depending upon the style and the type they bought, they don't have enough money to get out of that house, or they're paying to get out of it. So the costs were way more than they anticipated. So time period is huge. And one of the things that people are really unknown, I mean, health issues, we see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Family changes, job changes, or career changes. If you're in a job where you have to transfer to advance, boy, that is something really to consider. And things pop up. So knowing time period is huge for us. The second thing that really plays into that time period question, as I got to tell you, is transaction costs. When you go to sell, you're looking at real estate commissions. You're looking at excise tax in the state of Washington, which is 1.78%, so almost 2%. So right off the top, you have 2% in a seller's tax. And if we're appreciating in a market that averages 2 to 4%, depending upon your neighborhoods, we've already taken 1 year right off the bat on break even. If you look at real estate commissions, there's, you know, those are negotiable amounts, but those amounts could range, if we look at national averages, those amounts could range anywhere from 4 to 7%, depending. I mean, it's all over the board, and we don't really talk specific numbers, but that's a range that we easily could see in the market. Let's just, if we use that number, if we just split that in the middle at 5.5, that's 2 more years just there, and then we're going to add title insurance and closing costs on top of that. So that's why when we talked about previously, that 3-year mark is a big, big issue for us, because just in transaction costs alone, you probably need to be in that house 3 to 4 years to have what we call the break-even point with those costs. So that is a big, big thing to be considering when you're looking at transaction costs. And we haven't even talked about yet the lending side of things, which we're going to talk about with Tom here soon. The next cost that I wrote down that people sometimes forget about is that you're going to have in a property that you own that you won't have renting is property insurance. So I was talking to my insurance agent this week about another investment property, and you're going to have to, if you have a mortgage on that property, you're going to have coverage that in the case of a natural disaster, fire, you know, wind, car smashing through your living room, whatever the case is, you're going to have to insure that property so that if any of those disasters were to happen, it could be replaced back to its original condition. Banks are going to require that so that their asset is protected. And when we look at the average amount that we see, so average sales price of a home in Tri-Cities last month was $224,000. We're seeing policies, homeowners policies in that range of anywhere from, depending upon the coverage you get, you know, $600 to $1,000 a year, you know, for a policy like that. And so that's going to add, you know, basically when you're looking at that, probably another $100 a month onto that calculation. So we're kind of putting all of this together, looking at the cost of actually owning the home, and then making the decision on how long we need to be there and if it's the right decision for us to move forward. So today, hidden costs of home ownership that we want to make people aware of in their buy decision. When we come back from the break,
yes, we don't like the word hidden in lending.
No, that's why I...
Okay.
Nice.
We have no hidden fees.
That's why when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to you about the money,
okay,
which there will be nothing hidden in there. I'm talking to you about the hidden costs that you're not thinking about when you decide to buy.
Got it.
That's going to have nothing to do with my good friend Tom from Umpqua when we come back. After the break, we'll talk to Tom over there.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about local issues in the Tri-Cities in the real estate market. One of the things is getting ready to buy. We've got a lot of people out there looking right now. still getting a ton of people transferring in. Maybe you've been in an apartment, you're trying to make that decision between renting and buying and some of the costs associated with buying. It's one of those questions we get a lot. We've had a lot in the last couple of weeks. So Tom and I said, hey, let's sit down. Let's see what happens and what the buyer's looking at when they go through a buy scenario. So one of the biggest portions of that is what they're going to need to be considering on the lending side. So I'm going to turn it over to Tom at Umpqua over here. And Tom, tell us what we're dealing with.
Nothing hidden.
Nothing hidden, as Lance insinuated before the break there. So I basically wanted to go through a quote today. I go through these all day long with buyers, you know, probably 5-10 times a day. So it's great to be able to sit down and go through it on the radio show. So the first fee that someone can look to see on a loan is the cost of getting a rate or a credit for selecting a rate. So every given interest rate is tied to a cost or a credit. So you could either be paying money extra to get that interest rate, or you could be getting a credit back from us because you elected to have a higher interest rate. Now, everyone's situation is different, and those figures change daily. In fact, that is what pushes interest rates up. If the cost of getting a rate becomes so expensive, that's going to push the rate up 0.1%. Now, it's all different for different programs, credit scores, so it really is case-by-case basis, but it's really the first cost that you're going to expect to see. Now, next is, of course, we have to pull a credit report. For us, it's $18. We need to see your credit history, make sure you make your payments on time. We're going to see your credit score. It plays a huge part in what we do in lending, is seeing your credit. Of course, we're going to need to get an appraisal. Appraisals in our area range always around $500 if you're doing a single-family owner-occupied home. And the appraisal essentially tells us what the home is worth. This is not the inspection, so it's separate from what you'll get for the home inspection. But the appraisal, again, tells us what it's worth. We want to know it's worth what we're lending on it. But, of course, you want to know it's worth what you're paying for it. So it serves two very important purposes. Then we have what's called tax registration. I always explain this. Like, we're going to need to send you a 1098 form at the end of every year. You're going to use that to report how much interest you paid on your mortgage to your tax return so you can get that deduction. That's around $50 or so. Then we've had escrow companies on the show before. Dylan over at Stewart, I know, has been on the show. We're going to have to pay Stewart Title to get us escrow set up. And escrow is who handles all the closing of the transaction. So how it's going to work is we're going to get your loan all ready to go. We send your paperwork to the escrow company. You go in and sign your final documents with them. The seller comes in and signs their share. They help transfer ownership. So they do really quite a bit for what you pay, and I've estimated around $500 for that, but they really just handle all the closing of the transaction. We also have to get a title policy on your property. We want to make sure there's no back taxes, no liens, no assessments, nothing, so that when you buy the home, you know you're getting clean title. Now, we require it, but let's say you bought a house and you didn't have title insurance. Anything that is tied to that property is now your responsibility, so it's really important to have title insurance. We're also going to record the deed of trust with the county. The county charges a fee to do that. It's around $160 or so, but that essentially identifies this house as belonging to you in the county's eyes. The admin or underwriting fee that we charge is $9.95. That's the only lender fee that you have for coming to us. Everything else that we've gone through is all third-party fees. We also got to verify the home's not in a flood zone. We get a flood certificate for that. And then your wire fee, which is the money, what it costs to send your loan money to the escrow company to go pay off the seller. So you're looking at around $2,500 is just your flat standard third-party fees is what you're going to have, including our fee. And then we move on to what we call prepaids. Now, prepaids, for the most part, is what it takes to set up an escrow account for taxes and insurance. Now, we don't consider them closing costs because you're prepaying these items in advance. Let's say you didn't have a loan. You're still going to pay taxes and insurance, so they're not considered closing costs. But our first thing that we're going to do is pay your first year of insurance up front. And on a $200,000 house, I would expect the policy to be around $600 or so a year, $50 a month. So we're going to pay the full first year of insurance up front. Then, in addition to the first year, we're also going to get an extra 2 months of property taxes. Now, the reason we need to do that is when we pay your premium up front for the first year, that's going to cover you until, let's say you're closing right now, November 2015. Every month that you make a payment, we're going to add $50 for your insurance to your monthly payment, and we pull that aside and hold it in what's called an escrow account. So you've made 12 months payments come November of next year, and now we have enough to be able to pay the following year's insurance premium. So that escrow account is always going to have a rolling balance. It's going to increase, and when we pay out insurance, it's going to decrease. Same, it works the same for taxes. We want to know if we're closing today that come April 1st, there's enough to pay your first half of the year for property taxes. So those balances are always going to be going up and down. Now, at some point in time, let's say you sell the house. Whatever the balance in that account at that time, that escrow account, will come back to you. So again, these are your funds. You're just paying them in advance. Now, the last thing under prepaid is your prepaid interest. Now, let's say you're closing on the 20th of the month. And let's say there's 10 days left in the month. Let's say you're closing November 20th. Well, it's actually 11 days left in the month, I think, 31 days.
Yep, there you go.
So you close November 20th. Your first payment's not going to be until January. When you make January's payment, that covers all of December's interest. But because you got the house in November, you got to pay the rest of November up front.
Okay, gotcha.
So you're prepaying the interest because your first payment's not going to cover that. So how many days are left in the month, you'll pay there in interest. So that is the breakdown of closing costs and prepaids. And if you want a quote specifically for your situation, I'd love to get it for you.
And that's what's really nice about what you do is a lot of times we'll say, hey, we're looking at making an offer over at 123 Strawberry. And if you could look at the purchase price, look at the taxes, and then give us a quote, that's something that you do a lot of, right?
Oh, absolutely. These quotes, they just take me a few minutes to work up. What makes it easy is if we know the sales price and we know the address. Because with the address, we can look up taxes. Of course, we want to know down payment and the loan term you're looking at. But, yeah, it's nothing to work a quote up and email it over to a client.
Perfect. And that helps us a lot, too, because then, you know, a lot of times the clients, they've already met with you. They have a payment that they're comfortable with that you've talked about. And then we're just trying to see how close we can get that property to make it work. So that helps us a lot, too, on the real estate side.
You know, one thing I always tell my clients is, let's say we meet with them and we get them pre-approved at a given amount, given interest rate. Well, rates change all the time, sometimes multiple times a day. And so let's say 2 months go by before they're actually putting an offer on a house. I always have them call me back, let's update this quote, we'll know current interest rates, and we'll also be able to look up taxes so we can kind of fine-tune that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Tom, thanks for walking us through that. That is the type of service that we like our clients to see and have and the information that they need when they're looking at making that offer. So that helps us a lot. So thank you for taking care of our clients that way. One of the other costs associated with buying properties that I wanted to get into is maintenance. And this is one of probably the most painful aspects of home ownership as opposed to renting that can come up, because really what happens when it's all said and done is that once that house is closed and you've assumed ownership of that, boy, the buck really stops with you on that. I mean, if you closed in, you know, June, and then in October, the temperatures happened to drop to 9 degrees, which they did here, and you have not blown out your sprinkler system, and the pipes break, you know, all of a sudden that maintenance cost, number one, of blowing out the sprinklers, number two, of now fixing all that, that goes with you as the homeowner, because now you've assumed ownership of that house. You know, that doesn't increase, you know, or if, say, I mean, things happen. Say we have a, you know, 90-mile-an-hour windstorm and
shingles
blow off. You know, that's not something that carries over from the previous owner. That's part of the new owner, you know. And so, I mean, that's why we can have home inspections and we can do certain amounts of protections, but that doesn't, you know, protect from, you know, maintenance or natural disasters or things that happen. That's just kind of a snapshot in time of what we're dealing with to kind of give you an indication. So I put down maintenance as kind of, you know, a big deal, kind of a popular rule of thumb that a lot of owners use and landlords use, is that 1 to 1.5%. You really should try to be budgeting, you know, 1 to 1.5% a year for general maintenance items. So if you've got your, you know, $200,000 house, you should be spending about $2,000 a year on maintenance. And I actually think that that is a little bit low. I mean, if you do a lot of things yourself and you're very handy with that type of stuff, you can probably get away with it for that 1 to 1.5%. If you're busy selling a lot of homes and don't always have time to do all that yourself, that's why I'm thinking in my head this sounds a little bit low. So I think if I have to hire out a couple more things, then you might want to increase that budget item for your family, probably upwards of, you know, from 1.5% to 2% to 2.5%. So home maintenance is a big deal, and a lot of times if it's not done or spent annually along the way, it can really add up and make matters worse. I mean, if you don't spend the $300 to get those 4 or 5 shingles replaced and you ignore that, well, then when 5 or 6 more blow off and the water leaks through the roof and now you're doing sheetrock repair, it can really make matters worse. So that was one of those ones I put a big star on and highlighted and said this is something really to consider for folks. And one of the reasons why, you know, the lenders realize this and they have, you know, debt-to-income ratios that they're looking at, because the lenders, they've been doing this a long time. Umpqua just didn't wake up last month and start doing home loans. They know that, you know, you can only spend a certain amount of your budget on that payment because the rest of it is going to need to maintain that property. So kind of knowing that and factoring that into your costs is a big, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of some of the costs that we're counseling our buyers with, that we're working with, that we're having them look at when we're looking at these properties. I, of course, brought with me, as we wrap up here, a pick three, because I've got some great property that you can look at if you're considering homes. We've had some great new listings come on the market, some fantastic houses. I've got 1510 South Reed Court. We just put this on the market. I was going through feedback and looking at it this morning. We've had 3 showings in the last couple of days, so this is a hot one. 1510 South Reed Court. This is the Rambler that you've been waiting for. Super clean, 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. It's on a cul-de-sac in West Kennewick. 1748 square feet. Big living room. You got the masonry fireplace. Kitchen that opens up to the family room with the breakfast bar. They've gone ahead and put bamboo flooring in the dining room and family room, so gorgeous flooring. Then you've got the master bedroom with its own bath, French doors off the family room to an enclosed deck. And then you've got fully fenced backyard, mature landscaping, fire pit, RV parking. And we're bringing this thing in at $179,900.
Wow.
Oh, just did I tell you before I told you $179,900 that it also has a 16x12 shop with power?
Wow, that's nice.
They don't even make shops in the price range of $180,000, okay?
Awesome.
So this is why we've had the showings. This is why this is going to be a good one. So if that sounds interesting to you at all, give us a call. Go to our website, kenmoreteam.com, thekenmoreteam.com. Send us contact info. Either of those will get you to us so that we can show you that house. It's a great value at $179,900. Another fantastic one, great investment opportunity. This is 911 South 7th Avenue. We've got a duplex. Okay, we haven't had a couple of these in a while. The inventory's been really low for these type of properties. 2-bedroom, 1-bath units in Pasco. Great floor plan. You've got 810 square feet and tile flooring in the kitchens and baths on each side. Easy access to amenities, close to everything. Off-street parking, and this investment property is priced at $150,000.
Hmm.
So great opportunity there. We haven't talked a lot or had a lot of those come available. Those lower entry investment properties don't come up very often. So this is a great opportunity for someone to get into that game that's been looking. And then pick number three that we have, I tell you what, this is just an incredible new construction home. This is by Dennis Shepherd, Shepherd Homes, and this place is fantastic. This is 1375 Kensington. It's out in South Richland. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath Rambler, 2,700 square feet. And I tell you what, he did not spare any expense on this house. So Dennis Shepherd does sand-in-place hardwood floors, which hardly anybody does anymore, and they're gorgeous. Absolutely huge upgrade. Tons of hand-done rock work, a lot of tile work, all of the trim inside, the extra trim that him and his crew, they finished themselves, really hands-on type of deal. Stainless steel appliances, breakfast bar, these cabinets, custom-built cabinets, really high-end home. You've got 10-foot ceilings in here. I mean, so really feels roomy. And this is right up there in the neighborhood of White Bluff. So you're just in South Richland. White Bluff Elementary is very close by this. You've got just a fantastic neighborhood close to amenities. So you've got up there, they just opened the Marshalls. You've got Target, Home Depot.
Country Mercantile coming in.
Yeah. So this is close to everything. And this is priced at $385. So to get into that market for super high-end custom builder, that's 1375 Kensington. I went through another house this week that he had finished, a custom build for some clients. We wanted to see it right before it got finished, and they got moved in just so we could take a look. And I tell you what, there's just some huge upgrades that you're getting that are not priced into this home. So give me a call on any of those pick three. We are putting on a huge amount of inventory right now. There is a lot of people that are doing these job transfers that we talked about that are moving out of Tri-Cities, relocating, making that moves by the first of the year. If you're looking at all and are considering buying and want to go over these numbers in more detail, give me a call. 727-8977 is my cell phone. You can go to kenmorteam.com, shoot us a contact, and we will be looking forward to getting right back to you. Tom, if they need the loan on this, how can they get a hold of you?
Go to my website, tomcoynehomeloans.com, or feel free to call me at the office, 783-7200.
All right, and we will be right back here next week,
right here on News Talk 870.
In the middle of us.